Luke 15. The prodigal son, we all know the story, ran from his father's house, received his inheritance, ran, squandered, come back. Here is the whole issue with the body of Christ right here, is the way the prodigal son comes back to the father's house. The whole church is full of prodigal sons. You may not be out there anymore, but we're full of the mindset or the image, the identity. And he says it twice, and I want to rehearse this a minute. He comes back, verse 18, he said, I'll arise and go to my father and say to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and before thee. This is huge right here. I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. He arose, came back. He comes in for his father. His father runs to him, kisses him. See, the father has a whole different image of you than we have of us. It's that image that can get integrated within our DNA, spiritual DNA, soulish DNA, fleshly DNA. We can get so integrated with an image, it'll block the flow of the kingdom of God to you. And you'll wonder why the person right next to you can walk around being blessed all the time. And you labor and travail and you meet every single meeting in the entire city and you're in your Bible every day and you pray 5 hours, but you can't get anything out of heaven. But you're spiritual, but you can't get anything out of heaven. You're wearing something that's blocking everything. Until we learn to take that off, we'll keep wearing it. And you can wear it in prayer. You can wear it through conferences. You can wear it through deliverance. You can wear it through prayer lines. Because if it's integrated deeply enough, the only place it's going to be able to take off is at the throne of grace. It's the only place you're going to be able to take that off. Because he has the power and a sword that can divide spirit and soul and joints and marrow. He can divide it right out of your life. That kind of sword, nothing will escape his sword if you can get that to where he is. But the problem right here is I'm no more worthy. And then verse 21, he said unto him, Father, I've sinned against heaven in thy sight. I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. Twice, unworthiness it set into him. Shame it set into him. Reproach it set into him. Guilt it set into him. That may not be what you're dealing with. It might be what you're dealing with and you don't know you're wearing it because something may have happened to you 20 years ago, 10 years ago, and you're wearing something that's blocking the flow of the king. Have you ever watched somebody that's a severely rejected person? You never see 20 people around that person having a party. You know why? Rejection will create an atmosphere of rejection. It doesn't matter what kind of face you put on it. Spiritual things are attracted to spiritual atmospheres. Now, Joanne, how many would you agree that she's a very elegant woman? Raise your hand. More than that, she carries something upon her life. There's an atmosphere that comes with her life. There's an atmosphere of favor that comes with her life. She carries it with this place called effortless. That's her word, effortless. If it's not effortless, it's not God. Because she knows how to walk in grace. She's clothed in grace. Now, she might have some shortcomings and faults, but there are certain areas that she's clothed in. And it attracts things to her. It attracts promotion to her. It attracts people in high places to her. It attracts people to be ministered to in high places that would not otherwise be ministered to. Now, she's an example of that. Now, I can call different people that have strengths in their life, and spiritual atmospheres are going to get attracted to strength. But one thing in the Father's house you can't wear is unworthiness. You can't get in the Father's house and wear unworthiness. And sometimes there's a false humility because things you've gone through, and but God's got to take that off of you. What'd he say? Bring the best robe. Bring it right now. Bring a new pair of shoes. I got to change your image. Sometimes we go through life, we're born with things. Not all of us were born equal. Some of us have been born in privilege. Some of us have not. Some of us had a very difficult child years of upbringing. Some of us had very loving parents, nurturing parents. Some of us did not. Some of us had a very difficult time, even when we've entered into our callings. Some of our strongholds came into our callings with us. sometime in the ministry. We've been in ministry. We got some of our strongholds made it through. And they started manifest and they cause problems. And it causes reproach. And you wear your mistakes. And if you're prone to a lot of mistakes, you'll wear an atmosphere of mistakes. You'll wear a reproach. And you don't even know it. That's what was going on with this prodigal. And so God has to change out the vesture. He has to change out the clothing. He has to change out the atmosphere you're walking in. If you can't change that atmosphere, you're going to keep and continue staying in the same place. And even though you labor and travail and pray and get somebody to pray with you, it keeps staying the same thing. You stay in the same because you're wearing something you can't see you're wearing. If we continue to wear it, next year will be just like this year. We'll be wishing and waiting. I had to identify some things I was wearing. I didn't like to look at that, but I had to look at it. No matter how spiritual we think we are, the better position is to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God and say, we ain't all that. Might have a gift, may understand some things about God, may understand some things about His Word, but until we can receive, we ain't all that. Until we can wear the kingdom here, our knowledge ain't all that. We have to come to the place where we're wearing His kingdom. And God had to change His image. And it went back to the original mandate from the very beginning. Let us make man in our image. Male and female, He created them in His image. And then let them have dominion. It's image first, dominion second. Without image, you won't have dominion. That prodigal would have never been an heir in his father's house and been able to rightfully assume his position as an heir as long as he was wearing the unworthiness. He would have never been able to execute dominion in his father's house. He would have always been a subservient mindset to the fullness of God in his life. He had had a subservient mindset and he would have withered away and took a back room in his father's house instead of setting down as an heir. And be able to administrate. That man needed a major change of image. And without that change of image, he would never prosper in his father's house. He'd be a son. Father would always love him. Father showed him his love up right up front. But if he cannot receive that robe and put a new pair of shoes on and put a new signet ring of authority, if he couldn't get a change of atmosphere and a change of vesture, he would remain the same. So it's image and then dominion. If you don't get image right, you won't have dominion. That's what God had to say. If you don't get my image, you're not going to have my dominion. As much as I want to give it to you, as much as I've already given it to you, you're already an heir. You're already a son. But you have to sit in a seat of authority with me. You have to be clothed in that authority. And to be clothed in authority, you're going to have to take off the old man to put on the new. So what does God do when man falls? He gives all that to Adam. Adam immediately just loses it. Amen. Oh me. He loses it. And so what happens? Adam loses his dominion. Man falls. What does God do? Immediately sets up his plan to restore man back to where he was. And according to Romans 8, he predestinated us to be conformed, say conformed, to his image. God will not deviate from his plan. Problem is, if you're conforming us all to your image, I know we're born again. My spirit's been conformed to your image. We got a lot of problems on the other side. So, flesh, identity, image problems. We're still wearing a fallen image even when we're born again. We're sons in our father's house, but we're wearing the unworthiness that I'm not worthy. We're wearing a lot of things that are not according to his image. God said, my dominion is executed through image. My power is executed through image. My wealth flows through your image. I'm not talking about the person on the magazine cover. I'm talking about the image. So God reinstates the image, the prototype of his image. Let us make man's man loses, so God reassigns a brand new heir. Go to Hebrews chapter 1. We want everything God has already given to us as positional heirs. We're heirs already. We already have an inheritance. What's blocking the flow of our inheritance is our image. Your image may not be unworthiness. Your image might be pride. May not be pride. There's a lot of image dilemmas. You're really not going to know what kind of image you're wearing until you get into the light, because it's been with you a long time. I can give you an idea as you find out what you struggle with all the time, that you'll get victory over and you drop back into, and you'll get victory over and you drop back into, and the person next to you doesn't struggle like that at all, but you struggle with the same thing all the time. 20-year struggle, you're wearing something and you don't know you're wearing it. It's probably generational. It's probably been so deeply integrated now, it'll reach into the next generation if you don't watch it. And until you learn to take it off and find out the place where it is actually taken off, because you're going to have a power that's much greater than yours. And unfortunately, we're going to have a power that's much greater that's operating in the present body of Christ right now. That's why we're not getting the image taken off. We don't have enough power. We have a catch-22 going on because God doesn't have enough image to release the power. So he's going to have to get us to climb up into where his image is released. Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews 1 and 1. God, who at sundry times in divers manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets. That's how he spoke. He was speaking through the fathers, speaking through the prophets, speaking through the kings. But now he shifted everything. He says, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his son. He speaks to us by his heir. Jesus is his heir. You have to understand that. He is the final Adam, and he is the one the Father gave everything to. All the fullness of the Father rests in him. All of it. Whom he appointed heir of all things. That's good enough right there. Hey, the good news is he's appointed us as joint heirs of all things. We've been joint heirs the day we're born again. But we're not going to get to actually manifest that joint heirship until we get a shift of image. And you're not going to get it through a self-help seminar either. Self-help seminars will get you about that far in the kingdom. Just as soon as a devil shows up that's a little bit higher operating than self-help seminar, all that you learn through the self-help seminar will be crushed. Because that devil will run right through a self-help seminar. You're going to have to wear something that's above the kingdom of this world. If it's originating from self, it is not above the kingdom of this world. And it will not make it past the principalities and powers. Hath in these last days spoken unto us by his son, hath appointed heir of all things, whom he made the worlds. Look at this, verse 3. Whom being the brightness of his glory. I like this. And the express image of his person. Express image. He is the image now. Let us make man in our image. Man fell. Man has to have a new image to look to. See, Adam could freely look upon God until he fell. And then he was closed. He was veiled by spiritual death. He didn't have an open face to look in. He didn't have an open heart. He was all veiled. He couldn't look into things of God. His spirit could not contain God anymore. And he couldn't look into God. Man was veiled. When you're veiled, you can't look in. So Jesus comes and takes the veil off. And he gives us a brand new image to look at. And says, now you're fallen. You don't fully know how far. Now, I've recreated your spirit, but I'm going to have to transform every other part of you. So I am the image that you're going to behold. We've had that image greatly distorted in church. He left it to men. We mess things up a lot. Some of us have some very backward images because we have trusted somebody that we thought was speaking in the stead of God. Amen? And we trusted them a lot, and we find out they weren't quite made in His image yet. And they disappointed, and they broke something in us. Or somebody in authority that you just loved with all your heart and just disappointed you. I may have disappointed you. Could very well be my past stuff. I could disappoint anybody. I said, Lord, why did you ever call me into the ministry? He goes, I had to perfect you sometime. So we were all in the sheep pen getting perfected together. I just get to stand up in front of everybody. That's the only difference. Praise the Lord. And so that creates, that destroys your image. Someone just breaks you like that. It'll just mess your image up bad. It'll mess your image of God up. Mess your image of God the Father. Those things are what 2 Corinthians chapter 10, you can go there. That's a good one. 2 Corinthians 10, these things called create strongholds. Let's look at the definition of a stronghold. I tell you, before you want to tear the devil down over the city, you might want to tear the image down within your own life. Because if you can tear a 40-year image down, I can assure you, you'll have authority over devils. Some of us are carrying 40-year images, and we don't know we're carrying them. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 3, though we walk in the flesh, all he's saying there is, he's not talking about walking in carnality. He said, though we walk in this natural jurisdiction, that's all he's referring to there by walking in the flesh. He says, we do not war after this natural jurisdiction. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They don't originate in this earthly jurisdiction. They're mighty through God. Say mighty through God. Through the pulling down of strongholds. Look at this next word. Casting down the imagination. Casting down the imaginations. Casting down the imagination. That's Texas for imaginations. Casting down the image. There is some power somewhere that can cast down the 40-year image. And it can actually turn you into an inheritor heir of the earth. What you were in the beginning. Could you imagine God's made every single one of us heirs? He has. Granted as an inheritance, and how few of us are inheriting the earth like He wants us to. We have an image problem. We have an image dilemma. Until we get the image right, He can't clothe us in glory and clothe us in power and clothe us in inheritance. Because we're wearing the wrong thing. Well, I'm a son of the living God. I get it. I am too. But we're wearing something that's attracting the wrong stuff. The prodigal was a son of the living God as well. And he had an image dilemma. And God said, get the best robe. He wants to put His best robe on you. You have to know that going in. Doesn't matter how you feel, what you've been through. Doesn't matter what you're presently wearing. What you need to understand is His grace is sufficient. That's not what He was telling Paul. God, get this strong man off of me, the abundance of my revelation. I'm establishing your church. And this thing out of the pit of hell has come out of me. He's a strong man, and everywhere I go, he harasses me. I can't get him off of me. He turns whole cities against me. I birthed the Corinthian church. He birthed them. By the end of 2 Corinthians chapter 13, they were seeking a proof whether Christ was even speaking through him anymore. That'd be like you being birthed here in this church and a year later saying, I don't even know if God's speaking to you anymore. Don't even know if I like you. That's what that strong man did to him. Destroyed his credibility. He said, God, get him off. And God comes out of heaven, speaks to him, and says, my grace is sufficient, Paul. Get on with it. And everyone said, yeah, His grace will get you through. You just get His grace, it'll get you through. That was not what he was saying. He said, no matter what he's doing to you, Paul, my grace is sufficient to exchange the weakness for my strength. to exchange the reproach for my honor, to exchange the necessity for my abundance, to exchange the dishonor for my glory. My grace is sufficient, Paul. For anything he's trying to put on you, I'll put on more. You can exchange it. That's when Paul got the revelation. Man, I will most gladly therefore glory in this stuff. Bring it on. Because whatever you put on me, I'm going to take off. But if you get the idea that you got to wear this stuff the rest of your life, you're going to keep struggling. I'm going to keep struggling. If our gospel be hid, listen to this verse. You don't have to go there. 2 Corinthians 4. If he hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world had blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God. He is the image that we are to be conformed to. What we want to know is, how do we get his image? Where do we get his image? Well, the prodigal son actually gave us a big clue. It wasn't out in the pig pen. The robes weren't put on until he returned to the house. That house is not this church. That house is the heavenly tabernacle where the Father dwelleth. The exchange of robes takes place where he is. The exchange of robes takes place in the heavenly tabernacle. Exchange of robes takes place in the heavenly temple. It's where all the spiritual blessings in heavenly places live. So we got to get there. Amen? But you're going to have to go through some atmospheric thieves that are going to pretend that they are stronger than you are. And in the natural, they are, but they're not stronger than your faith. When your faith develops, they'll cut right through them. Because they're going to stand at the door and block your access. Because they don't want you going through the doorway, because they don't want you to get the exchange on the other side, because you'll come out Superman. You might go in broken, coming out Superman, because God will make you Superman. He will make you and clothe you with something that's utterly not of this world. Right now, presently, I want to take a generational garment off. The Lord said, you take one of those off, you'll understand the power of my grace. You take a generational garment that struggled all your life with, you take that off and you come out and wear something of my kingdom, then you will understand the power of my inheritance. I said, I'm going to get it. I'm going to, day and night, I'm after it now. It's like you'll go in God and you'll hit a place, you know, it's like we'll be talking, what's next? What next? You think like you're leveling out. You got to remember the right hand of God is from glory to glory. Now, go to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. This is the most profound verse, one of the most profound verses in the entire New Testament. It's going to take faith to get there, faith to operate there, faith in his word. It's going to take some understanding to stay there. It is the high place of God. It is the place of utter transformation. It's the place where he'll remove the spot and wrinkle from his bride. It's a place he'll remove generational garments, generational vestures. He'll remove that coat of iron you wake up with and go to bed with. He'll remove it. Shame, trespasses, sickness, disease, heaviness, depression, oppression, poverty. Well, I don't know if he can move poverty. He says, know you the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, that you through his poverty might be made rich. He bore our poverty, and he received the inheritance of our riches in glory. What does he say in Philippians? That my God will supply all of your need according to his what? Riches in glory. It is there, because that's where he supplies it from. What we want to do is connect and get clothed in it. Walk right back down in this jurisdiction and walk in it. Amen? I can tell you right now, if you learn to do this message, you won't need another one. I can get you to him where he is and get you to sit in front of his face and get you to partake of his immeasurable grace. You will come out clothed brand new. And he will take a generational garment off of you. And he'll radically transform you, and people are going to see it. I'm telling you, mark my words, when he starts taking the generational garments off, you are going to see people walk in here transformed. You're not even going to know them. Who is that? Because they will be carrying a brand new image, a brand new personality, a brand new glory, and a brand new life. And what you saw before is not on them anymore. Jesus stripped it off of them. He has the power to do that in the right hand of God. He has the power where he executes at the throne of grace. We need to get a whole lot more acquainted with that place, or we're going to keep struggling. And that's just a fact. We're just going to keep thinking God's just going to show up and blow everybody out one day. We have to go and get clothed on it. Peter did. I said, Lord, if Peter could get it, I can get it. He had more faults than I had, Lord. And he had a definitely bigger mouth than I had. And he made more mistakes and stuck his foot in his mouth a whole lot more than I did. If he can get it, I can get it. Just look at Peter. Peter can get it. How do you know he got it? Look at him, man. It gave beautiful. Peter was not perfect, but he had something on him. When he got in front of that man, he wasn't calling heaven down then. He had it on him. He said, what I have, I give right now. I got it on me. That's not the time to go up to heaven to get it. He already had it on him. The next chapter, chapter 5, it broke out in an atmosphere, and cities were coming to partake of that atmospheric glory that was on him. It was a shadow, casting a shadow, and wherever that shadow hit, the glory of God would hit atmospherically. He got that out of the right hand of God. He got that because the Lord taught him how to sit in there with him. How do you know? Because that was his messages. Hear what he was saying. He spoke of the right hand of God. He understood it. The Lord took him there when they were in the upper room. Chapter 15, he said, let us arise and go hence. They didn't go anywhere. They had chapter 16 and 17, but they did go somewhere. 2 Corinthians 3, but we all with open face. What does that mean, open face? My face is open. He's not veiled. He's not wearing a veil like Moses. He's not veiled by the law anymore. He's not veiled by spiritual death. God took all that off of him. He's got a brand new man. See, he's open facing into the presence of the Lord. Come in, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image. Changed, transformed into the same image. Say it, transformed into the same image. That's what we want. The image is his inheritance. The image is his life. The image is his glory. The image is his power. The image is his honor. The image is his love. The image is his peace. The image is his beauty. Psalms 50. Wonder how many self-help books have been trying to get generational garments off of people. There's a lot of self-help Christian ministers that do nothing more than operate at a self-help level. You cannot take this stuff off at a soulish level. It doesn't work like that. Listen to this. This is powerful. Psalms 50, verse 2. Out of Zion, the perfection of beauty, God hath shined. Where is he shining? Out of Zion. Where is he seated? Psalms chapter 2. I will set my king, my brand new heir, on the holy hill of Zion. Where does it shine? Out of Zion, the perfection of beauty shines. Zion is located in the right hand of God because that's where he ascended into the right hand of God. That is Psalms 110. We'll tell you that. That's where he shines. That's where he administrates his grace. That's where he makes the exchange of our weakness for his strength. That is where we are transformed of everything that's not lining up with him to everything that is. We put off the old and we put on the new. You do not do that here. That's why we don't have the power, because the church hasn't learned to get up where they belong, to get transformed. He's not going to put power on us until he puts an image on us. We got to get conformed to his image first. We got to get the image and then the dominion. Say image and then dominion. Image first. The original mandate of God, let us make man in our image. God brings a brand new image. He said, I set my king. He is my express image. Conform to him. Behold him. Father, I will that they be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory that you've given me. They may behold the image you've given me. What did he say? I will that you be with me where I am. In Zion, in the right hand of God, at the throne of grace. Live there. Execute your ministry there. Receive your garments there. Receive the robes of royalty there. Receive the robes of honor there. Take off reproach. Put on honor. Take off unworthiness. Put on glory. Take off poverty. Put on riches. Take off guilt, shame, condemnation. Put on his righteousness. Put on his acceptance. Put on what you've been struggling with. Take off. You're not going to do that here. You can get certain things done here. We're trying to help. We do as much as we can, but the church needs a change of garments. Would everybody agree with that? Father, thank you for your word tonight. Seal this word. Father, grant us grace to get through that door. Grant us grace to come up before the throne of grace. Grant us grace to be recipients of grace. Grant us grace to take off generational image. Grant us grace to take off generational vestures. Grant us grace to be clothed in honor. For that is from above. To take off the opinions of man, to take off the old. Right now, we just take off. We take off the old. By faith, we already start just taking off the old. So, when you just take off the old right now, the seas of taking off the reproach, taking off failure, taking off shame, taking off your shortcomings, taking off your mistakes, taking off the guilt. Taking off the lack and the need, taking off the weightiness, taking off the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, taking off the old man, taking off anger, taking off frustration, taking off hatred, taking off offense. We have so many things to take off so we can put on perfection. I can be perfect, Lord. Because I can be clothed in the one who is. Because I can look at you, Lord. You've given me a spirit that look upon you. That can be clothed in the perfection of beauty. Out of Zion, the perfection of beauty shineth. Everyone say, Lord, shine on me. Shine on me. Shine on me. Shine, shine, shine. Shine, shine, shine. Shine on me. I just saw the Lord shining shoes. I saw shined shoes all over this place. And the Lord said, I'm about to give you brand new walking feet. Says the Spirit of grace. I'm put a new pair of shoes upon you. I'm going to shine them. And you're going to walk in a new place with me. Says the Spirit of the Lord. You're going to walk in a new authority and a new grace. You're going to walk with favor. You're going to walk with the atmosphere of heaven. And you're going to attract angelic hosts. And cities are going to come and eat from this tree, says the Spirit of the Lord. Watch the cities come in the very, very near season, says the Spirit of the Lord. In this next season, watch the cities come. Watch them flood this place, says the Spirit of grace. Watch them flood and begin to eat from the tree. Begin to eat from what I've set upon you, says the Spirit of the Lord. They will eat from the power. Until they learn to be clothed in it themselves, they will eat from your tree, says the Spirit of the Lord. Amen. Out of Zion, out of the right hand of God, out of the throne of grace, the perfection of beauty is shining. Always full. Always in fullness there.
Get us in there, Lord. Get us up in there. Get us up in the right hand of God. Get us up before your face. We can look upon your beauty. We can awake in your likeness. God bless you.